Welcome back, everybody, to the Achievement Apex podcast, the podcast where I share my knowledge and experience on various topics in the hopes that you can learn something new that you can implement into your life in one way or another to make it better. I'm your host, Brendan Murphy, and today we're going to be talking about everything to do with increasing your profits when you trade. And I'm not just talking about, oh, duh, put more money in. No, we're going to be taking a deep dive into everything you can do to increase your profits without increasing your drawdown. Because there's no point making more money if you're just going to lose more money as well. Now, before we actually get into what you can do to increase your profits, I want to talk about why it is important to increase your profits. Now, obviously, it's like, oh yeah, more money equals I can spend more money, get more stuff. But it's actually a lot more important than that. And here's why. Now, the first reason why increasing your profit is important is because it's going to reduce the impact that the losses have on you. So let's say you were trading and you made $1,000 a week, and then you had 1 week where you lost $4,000. All of a sudden, you're back to zero. Now, let's say you were making $1,500 a week, and then you still had the $4,000 loss that week later. Well, you're still up $2,000 now, instead of being back at zero. You didn't get any extra loss, but just by increasing your profits, you still managed to be up $500 a week instead of losing it all. The second reason you'd want to increase your profit is to reduce stress in your life. If you're trading and you've got all your money in for some reason and you're not making enough to live, now all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, how can I pay the bills? I got rent to pay, I got bills to pay, internet, car insurance. Then that's going to start getting to your head and you're going to start making irrational decisions to try and make more money. You might increase your position size, which increases the risk of a larger drawdown. You might increase the amount of trades you're taking, which could lead to bad entries and exits, which could lead to bigger drawdown, which could lead you to lose money and not even be able to pay the bills. Like, it's just this whole chain of effects just because you didn't make enough money. And a bit more on that de-stressing note is increasing your profits will also have the effect of increasing your confidence and decreasing your hesitation. So if you're trading and you're making enough money, one, you're not stressed, which means you're going to be able to think less emotionally, more rationally. So when you are at the computer making trades, you're not worried about how to pay the next bill that comes in because you've got it covered. You can actually focus on trading properly and following your strategy to make sure you are only taking the good trades. Having more profits will also leave you with more money at the end of each month to put into your emergency portfolio or to have more spending money or hopefully like a combination of the two. You should always have an emergency fund, but that's a topic for another video. It's also going to leave you with more money to reinvest, which further enhances your profits, which further enhances all the things I mentioned before. And lastly, when you have this much profit, you might have a little too much that you know what to do with. So you can donate it to charity. At the end of every month, I donate a percentage of my income to charity. And if I wasn't making enough money, I simply wouldn't be able to do that because I'd be worrying about paying bills. And donating to charity is something that's important to me because I'm able to enrich the lives of others. So I hope with all that, that you're now fairly convinced that increasing your profit is important and that you need to do it without increasing your drawdown. Because if you increase your profit and your drawdown, then you're not getting any of the benefits I mentioned before. It has to be an independent increase in profit while keeping your drawdown low. And now it's time for the bit you've all been waiting for. What can you do to increase your profit without increasing your drawdown? And I've got a ton of things written down here, so hopefully there's a lot of stuff you can take away from this podcast. And the first thing you can do is reduce your drawdown. How can you do this without also taking away your profit? So the way I approach this is to backtest your strategy, which you should be doing, and find out which trades are good, which trades are bad, and what it is that makes them good or bad. If you can accurately isolate these factors, then you're able to allocate more money to those winners and less money to the ones that are less likely to win. So then over time, your maximum drawdown, instead of being 5 or 10%, it might be 2.5% or 5%. So if your profits are exactly the same, but you've been able to isolate the bad ones and reduce the amount that you lose, then if you make 10 grand and you only lose 2.5 instead of 5, then you've magically come up with $2,500, which you didn't have before. And technically, you didn't even increase your profit. You just reduced your drawdown. So selectively reducing your drawdown like that is number one. And also selectively increasing position size on the winners is also going to actually make more money. But when you combine that with the drawdown one, then the results are synergistic and produce like a 1+1=3 effect. Okay, second thing you can do to increase your profit is treat it like a job. If you're treating trading like a hobby, it's going to pay you like a hobby. You have to take it seriously. You shouldn't just check the market, you know, once at 7:50 in the morning and then, or maybe once at 4:41. Oh, I'll watch some Netflix and check it after. If you're treating this like a game or a hobby or something you do for fun, then chances are you're going to be losing money. But if you are making money, it's only going to be a fraction of what you could be making. So if you actually set aside some time each day to looking at the market, maybe taking a look at some news, taking the time to actually come up with a plan of how you're going to trade and sticking to it, that's going to have maybe even a bigger impact than the drawdown thing I talked about. Because if you're treating it like a hobby, none of this stuff I'm going to talk about matters. So actually, I should have put that first. Treat it like a job. That is number one. Okay, number three is using something I like to call qualifiers and confidence. These are terms that I've coined myself for use in my own strategies. And basically, what a qualifier is something that says, okay, you can trade. So I'm going to give you an example. If the market is trending downwards, you wouldn't want to take buys, right? But if you've got a strategy that's basically just an oscillator, like the RSI, and it's giving you buy signals in a downtrend, they are less likely to win than if you had a moving average as a qualifier. So the qualifier is something that says, okay, the market is trending upwards, we're only going to take buys. And if the market's trending downwards, then the moving average is only going to qualify short positions. So it doesn't have to be a moving average. It can be anything you want, as long as it's something that allows a short or a long position. And the confidence is a factor you can come up with yourself by combining multiple indicators together. So if you have oscillators, let's say you've got the RSI, the money flow index, the stochastic indicator, if only one of them are saying buy, then the confidence in the buy position would be low. If all three of them are saying buy and your qualifying moving average is saying buy, then the likelihood of that trade is going to be way higher than if you were just going based on the RSI. So that's a really powerful tool that you can use, and one that I utilize in all of my strategies is using qualifiers and a confidence factor and combining indicators to create really accurate entries. And the reason this increases profit, as you probably know, is if you're just having less losers, it's going to mean you lose less. And if you have more winners, more money. Bingo, yay. All right, number four is using a percentage of your equity to determine your position sizes. So when I first started making strategies, I would code them down as in like default position size equals 10 units. Then if I've made 100 grand and I'm still buying 10 units, the percentage profit I'm making is just going to be going down. Whereas if I decide the amount of units I'm buying based on my equity, if I start with 100 grand and I'm buying 100 units, once I've grown to a million, I should be buying 1,000 units. This is going to multiply your profit as you go along, and the returns will be exponential rather than logarithmic if you keep using the same amount of units, even though your equity is growing. In terms of a percentage that I would recommend, well, it depends on your strategy. If your strategy is very risky, you might only want to put on like 1% per trade. Whereas if your strategy is one that's really safe, only taking super accurate signals and is trading less often, then you might be able to devote like 2.5, maybe 5, but that's definitely pushing it. Okay, number five is improving the quality of your back test. We're all human, right? We all sleep, hopefully for 8 hours a day. We all go to work. And when you're sleeping and you're at work, you can't be trading, right? Unless work is trading. But if you've come up with a strategy and you're looking at the charts and you're back testing it for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, right? And you're back testing every trade that aligns with your strategy, it's actually not representative of if you were using the strategy. So if you're sleeping from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., then you want to distinguish when you're trading in your back test. If it's during your sleep hours and your indicators line up for a trade, don't take it, because in real life, you wouldn't be there to take it. So if the market has a tendency to do something at 2 a.m. in the morning that it doesn't do when you're awake, and you're taking trades based on that, then your back test results are going to be inaccurate, and then you're going to trade and wonder why it's different. So make sure you're back testing based on the actual hours you're going to trade, which means you'll get more accurate back tests, and then you'll actually get the results that you expect, which would be money. Okay, number six is using leverage. If your broker offers 10 to 1, 20 to 1, 50 to 1, or 100 to 1 leverage, increasing this will allow you to increase your profits. But this is going to multiply your drawdown. So you need to combine this with a very good strategy. The more leverage you're using, the more you need to have a rock solid strategy that's going to perform very consistently. More leverage is not always better. Let's say your strategy has a maximum drawdown of 10%. The worst case scenario in the world ever, you lose 10% and you're trading with 100-to-1 leverage, that multiplies your losses and your wins by 10. So if your max drawdown is 10%, that's all of your money because you multiply it by 10. So be very careful when you're increasing your leverage. But if you do it carefully with a good strategy, it can increase your profit. Also, the more money you have, the less leverage you need to make decent money. If you've only got $1,000, then you're going to be very lucky if you even make $1,000 in one year. But if you have $1,000 with 100-to-1 leverage, that effectively gives you $100,000 of buying power. And now all of a sudden, to make $1,000 per year would be rather easy, to be honest. But I must stress, be careful. Number 6 is use a shorter time frame. Now, when you use a shorter time frame for your strategy, this is going to make backtesting take longer. So there is a bit more effort, and some brokers don't give you as much historical data when you use a shorter time frame. For example, when you're on TradingView, when you use a one-day chart, you tend to be able to go back many, many, many years in the past. But if you're on like a 30-minute chart or a 15-minute chart, you can only go back like 1 year or 2 years at the most. That's going to mean your backtest results are less reliable when you use a shorter time frame. But using a shorter time frame is going to allow you to take advantage of the smaller moves in the market, which means if you have a good strategy that can deal with unexpected market conditions because of the unreliable backtest, then using a shorter time frame might be able to make you more money. But again, be careful with this, okay? Make sure your backtesting is rigorous, because if it's not, you're going to get surprised and you might lose money instead of making money like you hope. Number 7 is stop social trading and stop using signal services. If you're doing this, you're almost destined to fail, okay? You might think that following some good trader, if he's making money, it's going to mean you make money. But the thing is, he's trading very carefully based on his own emotional mindset, his psychology, how much loss he can accept, how much he expects to make. And his mind is completely different for yours. So when he takes a $5,000 loss, that you might not be able to handle that. Then you're going to take the loss and then you're going to wonder why it didn't work when he makes money and you don't. And the signal services are just the same thing. You're getting these notifications on your phone, or you're getting an email telling you, oh, buy this, it's a really good buy. One, they're probably not telling you why. And if they do, what if you don't agree with it? If you're not doing your own research, then the quality of your trades will be a lot poorer than the people actually doing the research. And that comes back to the treat it like a job thing. If you're not treating it like a job and you're getting the emails to trade, then you're almost destined to fail. You might succeed based on luck, but luck is not a long-term strategy. All right, number 8 is trade more volatile instruments. So let's say, for example, you're trading something that's very smooth and it doesn't have big jumps and big dips. And now let's say you put $1,000 on this and it goes up 0.1% in a day. That 0.1% is only $10. Whereas if you trade something that's more volatile and it goes up 1% in a day, now all of a sudden you just made $100 instead of $10. So you 10 times your returns just by using a more volatile instrument. But again, similar to the leverage thing, if it's more volatile and you take a bad entry, it's also going to multiply your losses. So you need to combine this with a good strategy again. And you'll probably see that's a recurring theme. You need to have a good strategy and you need to trade rationally and not emotionally. But I'm sure I've said that enough by now. So yeah, a more volatile instrument can make you more money. Okay, tip number 9 is scaling out of your trades. Let's say that you had a good trade, great entry, it started going up and you take profit. You take 100% of your profit and it goes up further. You just missed out on more profit, but you don't want to not take money because there's a chance it goes down. So what you can do is scale out. When it reaches your first take profit, you might take out 50%. And then if it goes higher, take out another 50%. What that does is, one, allows you to take profit, and two, take more profit if it keeps going up. And if it does turn back down, then you reduce the losses you take. Because if you didn't take profit, you're taking 100% of the loss. But if you take 50% of the profit, now your losses are halved. And then if you take another 50% take profit, your losses are reduced by 3/4. So this is a really powerful one to increase your profits and reduce your drawdown. Personally, I scale out in nearly all of my strategies. Way to improve your profit, number 10, is using a trailing stop. And the basis for this is very similar to scaling out. It allows the price to keep going up, and then when it does turn around, your trailing stop is there to take profit. Whereas if you just had a regular stop loss, if it goes up high and then turns around and goes down to your original stop loss, you're gonna lose all of that profit and then some. Whereas if you had a trailing stop that like follows the price as it increases, when it turns around, your trailing stop is gonna be above your entry price, so you'll still make money even though the market turned around. The thing about trailing stops though is you have to kind of decide how big you want the distance to be. If it's too short, then you might get stopped out with just a small fluctuation and the market keeps going. If your trailing stop's too big, then when it hits the top, you're gonna take a bigger loss when it hits your trailing stop. So ideally, you want to backtest different trailing stop values to figure out exactly what's the best amount to maximize your profit. Number 11 is increase the accuracy of your strategy. So this one's obvious, right? If you're picking winners more often than you're picking losers and your average win and average loss are the same, then you're gonna make more money. So how can you increase your accuracy? One is by using a qualifier or multiple qualifiers. You can use more, but this is gonna reduce the amount of trades you take, which could also reduce your profits. So you have to find the balance between really high quality qualifiers and actually taking enough trades to make money. Tip number 12 is find out what type of trader you are. Some people are day traders, some people are scalpers, some people are swing traders, some people are long-term investors. And if you don't know what these are, basically a scalper is someone who's trading every little micro movement in the market and trying to make money that way. A day trader is someone who trades once or multiple times per day, but is generally closing their positions before the end of the day. A swing trader is usually on a little bit of a longer time frame, and they might be entering a trade and then exiting it a week later or a couple weeks later. And an investor is usually someone who puts money into a company they believe is going to grow and make money in the long term, and they're just going to put money in and leave it. So basically, if the kind of trader you are is an investor, but you're trying to force yourself to be a scalper, then there's going to be heaps of added stress on you and you're not going to be able to trade rationally. You might take bad entries, bad exits, and the whole thing is just, it's not going to feel comfortable and you'll never be able to be like, yeah, I got this. You're always going to be second guessing yourself. So you need to find out exactly which kind you are and respect that and trade whichever way you're most comfortable. Yes, scalpers and day traders might be able to make more money because they're profiting off up and down moves. But if you can't handle that psychologically and this causes you to make terrible trades, you might be losing more than if you were an investor. So one is not better than the other. You need to find out what works for you. Now, the final tip, and this is the most important by far: improve your trading psychology and your control over your emotions. None of the tips I've given in this podcast are useful at all if you don't have a rock solid foundation. And that foundation is control over your emotions, a good psychology, and an ability to make well thought out rational decisions. Because if you don't have a good control over your emotions, you're gonna be taking bad entries, you're gonna ignore your strategy, you're gonna wonder why you ignored your strategy because you're losing so much money. So this is number one. Nothing matters unless you have control over your emotions. How can you improve your trading psychology? One, you can learn about the various emotional factors in trading. There are a ton of videos out there. I'm gonna make some myself. There are various books that you can read that detail this. One that I read recently that I found really great was The Psychology of Trading by Brett Steenbarger. Hope I pronounced that right. I found that book to be really insightful into the various pressures you'll face when you're trading. But the bottom line is you need to improve your psychology. Now, this tip might sound boring, right? I don't want to read books. I don't want to watch videos. I just want to trade. Why can't I just get better at trading? The thing is, you can't get better at trading if you're not improving your mindset. So this is paramount. If you don't pay attention to this, everything else is useless. All right, I'm sure I've stressed that enough by now. So the last thing I want to say is you need to use caution with all of these. There's no point increasing your profits to stupid levels if it's going to make you blow your account up and have to restart, okay? The ones who succeed long-term in investing are the ones who can take the losses and live to see another day. Who's going to win? The guy making 10% per year and he can do it for 50 years, or the guy that makes 100% per year and then in 5 years he blows up his account because he got too cocky. The people who succeed in investing are the ones who can survive over the long term. So before you go about getting big profits, big profits, big profits, ooh, I'm making 200% a week. Yeah, but you're going to lose 100% in a day later on down the track. So be careful when you implement these tips, okay? Do it responsibly. That's about all I have on improving profits. If you found this episode valuable or insightful, please leave a like or subscribe to the channel. Leave a comment on other topics you might be interested in. You can visit my website, theachievementapex.com, and I will see you again on Sunday for my trade review. Bye-bye.